14 voice messages. First voice message.
What's going on, dude? You son of a bitch.
No. You can't stop it.
I just said that today.
End of message.
I got a big plan. Big idea, bro. Big idea.
Message erased. Next message.
We're still here. Enjoy it.
ODG, Occupy Dave and Giggles.
End of message. Next message.
Seriously, guys.
We are Dave and Giggles. Edward Sharp, everybody. Best band today. What's happening over there, buddy?
And the Magnetic Zeros.
And the Magnetic Zeros.
What a great band name. I was just thinking, I was listening to this song. We played this song at our wedding.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was beautiful.
That is beautiful.
It was such a great song for the time. When it came out and you're like, you fall in love and you hear that song and you're like, yeah. Home is wherever I'm with you. And it was just like a great hipster anthem, you know?
It was a hipster anthem. And then here you are. Now you have a home. You have three kids. Father's Day. Everything fell into place, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. I was thinking about that today. I was just like, this is nice. This is a nice life. It's crazy, but it's nice.
It's nice. It's crazy, but it's nice. It's crazy. Well, happy Father's Day, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you. I love doing a Father's Day show with you. I think if we're going to hang out on Father's Day, Dead Dad's Club.
Dead Dad's
Club.
It's
you and me.
Yep.
You know?
Well, we are
David and
Giggles.
My wedding date. If you're going to go to weddings with me.
I know. Oh, boy. That's going to be something else.
My wife listened to last week's show when we were talking about the.
What are we talking about?
I'll speed up our listeners. Basically, I was thinking I got invited to a buddy's wedding. Oh. You know, the family and I.
Right.
I was going to ask the host if I could bring Dave, my co-host, my radio co-host, as a date. Do you think that's acceptable? You know, you think that's something that, you know, that you can get away with?
Sure.
I'd be willing to pay for your dinner. I'd be like, how much is it going to cost? I'll pay for Dave.
That sounds very nice. What did she say?
She was listening and she was like, you know, I guess she wasn't happy that I was going to take you. That I was more excited about the possibility of taking you.
That's really funny. What was she just like? So you're gonna take Dave, huh?
You'd rather take Dave.
And,
what's bouncing?
I was tucking in the wire that was bothering me and just hanging. So I was like, turn your mic down just a little bit. You're a little hot on my end. I turned it down over here, but you're still hot. But
what about now?
Yeah, it sounds better. It sounds way
a little better.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's really funny that she was like. So you're more excited about bringing Dave than you would be me, huh?
Yeah. Well, see, I could go by myself, and that it could be like a men's weekend, you know. Yeah. But I'd rather bring like a buddy.
Sure.
I'd rather like you go with me, and then it's like
then we have fun, right?
I mean, I still have fun by myself. Sure. But like, you'd be a great date.
I know. Yeah. I mean, we've done weddings together where we were like videotaping it, and we still had fun. You know, like we still went all out. We had a lot of fun. So
look at this picture.
Look at this picture. Oh man, you shouldn't give me anything before a wedding. Bad idea. So we are Dave and Giggles. We'll be here for the next hour. I don't think we even introduced ourselves today. We just jumped right into it because we're so excited. What did you do for Father's Day? What was the big dad's day?
So I woke up and the kids had like my wife had coffee ready for me, and the kids had this like little present with like things about me. You know, it was like I should get it. It's pretty cute. The kids like wrote like my dad's favorite thing to do is this. And I love it when my dad and I do this. And it was kind of nice, like little Mad Libs for kids.
That's very nice.
And I was like, oh, that's sweet. And they built some like contraptions, some rocks taped with like forks and stuff like that, you know, like crafts. And then they painted some rocks.
They painted some rocks. They like put dad on it and stuff. They draw on it.
They just painted all over it. It was sweet.
Yeah.
And then
they do like, I remember when I was a kid, macaroni art was a really big thing.
Yeah, they're not really.
That's
big
not big into that anymore,
art.
Right? No.
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 But a sweet little note. And then my wife got me a massage.
Oh.
So, a surprise massage. She's like, you have a massage at noon. And then we did some yoga. So I did yoga and then a massage.
Oh, that's nice. Isn't that what you got her for Mother's Day?
No, I got her a card that's still in one of the drawers.
Oh, my God. You didn't give it to her?
I lost it. I picked it out like days before, and I was like, sweet. I've got a nice like little card. This will be great. I'll give it to her on Mother's Day. and I
God.
I know.
Terrible. I thought you succeeded this Mother's Day. I thought you did good.
I on the gift giving, like Valentine's Day and anniversaries, and one's good and then two are bad. You know, like they all, I don't do great on all of them.
Oh,
you know?
Man.
We talked about this, Dave.
We did. But I thought you did. I have the recollection that you did. Because I remember saying, oh, so you actually didn't like last minute this one.
Yeah.
Like you did the year before. But no, apparently you didn't even give her the card.
I know. Jeez. I know. I'm bad. I gave her the card with like a nice, like, you know, I talked to her and I said, you know, I'm really, you know.
Here's a Mother's Day card.
Here's a virtual card.
On Father's Day. Here, I'll give you this. That's good. Well, that's always a plus.
She's much better at gifts than I am.
Yeah.
I'll just say that right now.
Whew. Oh, man. So Edward Sharpe, on your wedding day, I remember that day. And I talk about that from time to time and how we did it, how you did it in December up in the Catskills. And it was like freezing out. But it was stellar. It was a stellar wedding.
Do you remember the guy that went on Friday night for the bonfire? It was all covered in snow and ice.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, you really want a fire? And I was like, yeah.
Yes.
And
he's
like,
yes,
he
I
went
do.
And he got his blowtorch and he was just like, just charring the shit out of the, what do you call it?
I don't remember it lighting. Did it light?
It lit. He used a blowtorch and like basically like melted all the ice and snow off of it and got the fire going. And I was like, awesome. And I was like, that's the level of service that it's just those extra steps.
Yeah.
That are nice that you.
Well, I feel like, you know, like when it's a wedding, you have to go above and beyond. Like, I feel like that's what you do pretty much every day you work. Weekend. You go above and beyond. You make sure that everybody is happy. You make sure that. And then it probably costs your own sanity. You probably like work yourself up every weekend doing these things into your. And then you're just like worn out by the end of it. You're like pretty much worn out. I would be.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I kind of it's funny. I kind of hosed myself on this last weekend's wedding because the bride actually called me a few months before the wedding and was like, "Hey, you know, I'm interested in your services." I was like, "Oh yeah, you know." And then she was asking about photographers, and I was like, "Oh, my buddy Drake." And she's like, "Oh yeah, Drake's. We're actually interviewing him." And she was like, "He does video too." And I was like, "Oh yeah, that's great." I was like, "Yeah, I mean, if I work for Drake all the time. So basically if you hire him for both, you'll probably get me too. And then I thought about it. I was like, oh, I just, you know,
you just screwed yourself. You just screwed yourself. Yeah. You, instead of getting a lot of money, you're going to get like $75.
No. It's still a good pay. It's still a good payout. And I don't have to do any of the before and the
That's
after.
True. That's so the worst part. Nice. That's got to be the worst part.
But yeah, I definitely like hosed myself. I was like, oh, but you know, it was fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
And then I told her I cheated in my math homework. So when I was trying to like do some numbers real quick, I was like, oh, that's not a great character quality to tell her that like I cheated on my math homework growing up in school.
What was her reaction to that? I'm like, why would you just tell someone that you cheated on math when you were in elementary school?
I don't know. I overshare, Dave.
You do. You're an overshare. I was actually listening to one of the shows a couple weeks ago trying to pull stuff, and I was listening to the part where you were letting all of us know about your childhood and how you were opening up about it. And that was a very touching moment. It was a big sharing moment, and I was very proud of you. Has that come to fruition anymore? Have you talked about it anymore? You just let that go.
Have I had more therapy?
Have you had more therapy about it?
Have I told more people?
Shared?
No. I've kind of put it on the back burner. Just kind of
push it deep down. That's the way to do it.
Swept it under the rug. Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
Oh God. Man. I've been watching a lot of, do you watch any of, what is it? The On the Road with Steve Hartman?
No. What
you don't watch that CBS news? Oh God.
I don't know what it is.
It's
great.
It's this guy, Steve Hartman. He goes around the road and he finds these like feel good stories. Like his latest feel good story was this math teacher who adopted or basically took this kid into foster care, one of his students, because he needed kidney, you know, he needed all this kidney stuff. And he was about to go, like he couldn't have this operation. He was like, and it basically this teacher was just like, I'll adopt you. You know, like, or I'll foster you. And I was like, God, and Steve Hartman, he's always, they show him, he's always just ready to cry.
You are cry.
They're feel-good stories because they're like faith in humanity stories.
Well, I mean, in this day and age where it feels like every story is a bummer, it's good to see those like little touching moments.
Little feel-goods.
Yeah, today I had a limit of one, and I was watching it, and there was this video of this girl, and I wish I could play it and you can hear it, but it doesn't matter. I wouldn't be able to find it anyway.
Right.
This girl, and she was like, the mom was videotaping her. So you knew something was going to happen. Videotaping her. And she's like, what are your two dreams? Like, what are your two wishes? It was her birthday. She was blowing out candles or something. And she goes, well, one of them was to meet Drake. And that didn't happen, but that's okay. Right? And then the other one, she was like, and my other one is to get a new heart. And then the mom goes, well, we got you a new heart. And then she just started crying. And she was I got a new heart. I got a new heart. And I was just like, I can't watch this. It's too much.
Oh, that's a good one.
That is a good one.
Yeah, I feel like we should just they should just grow organs somewhere. You know, like they could do it. Like grow little hearts, little lungs. You know, they're not people. They're not robots or like humanoids, androids. Yeah, they're just little hearts.
Just little hearts. You know, just grow a little heart.
The heart. It's like you go to Walmart, get a heart.
Get a heart. Well, I feel like that was
the cheap heart, the expensive heart.
Yeah. You want the cheap heart or the expensive? You want the heart that's like going to make you old and bitter, or you want the heart that's going to be open and lovely? I think that is like that's stem cell research, right? Like that is what that is. And then America was just like, nope, we want no part of that because we're a Christian nation. Not going to happen.
We don't want you growing babies.
Right.
Because, you know somebody's going to grow a baby. Yeah. They're going to be like, all right, well, I got the heart. I got all this stuff. Let's make some kids.
Let's make some
people. That sounds like a sci-fi.
I feel like that would be an interesting experiment to grow one kid, you know? To grow a kid, turn him into the Truman Show.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be real weird.
Pot talk.
So today and then this, I think it was this week. It might have been last week. So first Radiohead had their archives from OK Computer stolen. Did you hear about that?
Right. I heard about this. Yeah.
So Radiohead was just like, fuck you to the hackers. I'm going to we're going to release everything and then pay whatever. And then that goes to climate change, which is awesome. Good for Radiohead. And then today I saw Bella Thorne, like that model. I don't know who she is, but she's some model that has millions of followers. She had her nude stolen from hackers.
Ah, God, I hate when you get your nude stolen.
I know. But she was just like, she was like getting threats from the hackers. So she just released them all on Twitter. She was just like,
everybody
fuck you.
Can have some nudes.
Here, check me out.
That's what I should do. I should just release my nudes now.
You should.
Get ahead of the game. Get
you
be
should.
Like, all right, guys, hold on. I don't know if anybody wants to see him.
No.
That's what I think is the sad part. Like
your wife doesn't even want to see him.
No, nobody wants to see him. My dermatologist doesn't want to see him. My doctor doesn't want to see him. Nobody wants to see me.
Yeah. Have you gone to the dermatologist?
I did.
Well, what was that like?
It was all right. He had a weird handshake.
What does that mean?
Like
soft handshake?
Very limp, like just a weird.
Is that the phone?
I think so.
Weird. Let's see if there's somebody there. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Mr. Newell from the great city of Salem, Oregon.
Hello, Mr. Newell. How are you?
Hey, Matt. How's it going, buddy?
Yeah, I just got this random text that said I won a prize from the Dave and Giggles show.
That's awesome. Giggles will be sending it out to you first class tomorrow. Yeah. What did he win? Sweet. What did he win? Giggles, what did he win?
He won some airtime. He won some airtime.
You couldn't even come up with something on the fly and just be like, yeah, well, here's your prize. No.
Pics of his kids. I've taken pics of his kids, and they turned out pretty nice.
Well, that just sounds weird and creepy, you know?
Only to you, Dave. Only to Matt, tell me what's going on. What's happening in Salem? West Salem.
Enjoying my Father's Day. It's about 80 degrees here. Sun's out. Went to have some free pie with my three daughters.
Nice.
Enjoying a really good Father's Day.
All right.
I wish you guys a good Father's Day, too.
Thank you, sir. This is the Dead Dads Club, where we have we talk about stories of our dads who have passed, but this is the Dead Dads Club. So, and then Giggles is a dad, so he's not dead. So that's good.
I'm not dead.
Yeah.
I'm not dead yet.
Not yet. Matt, I actually have a question for you. And
we're
like,
still trying to figure out if Giggles is the real dad.
I mean, those kids look so much like him. it's kind of eerie how much those kids look like him.
It is kind of weird.
Yeah.
It is.
Like, yeah, if you look at pictures of him when he was young, it looks like Leo. Like, it's straight up Leo.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, his new daughter looks
just like him.
Yes.
Yeah. It's amazing. Actually, all right, Matt, I have a question for you. You don't have to answer this, but it's something that I've been trying to research, and I can't quite nail it down. You're living in Massachusetts? Salem, Massachusetts, or?
Oregon.
Oregon. All right, so that's not going to help me out.
You don't listen, Dave. Yeah, you don't listen.
I heard Salem. Yeah, so I'm trying to figure out, and if somebody knows, let me know. Next week I won't be here. I'm going up to Maine. Okay. And I'm driving up through Massachusetts, and allegedly in Massachusetts, marijuana is recreational. And I've been trying to research if I could just stop and pick some up on the way, and I can't pinpoint a real answer. Like, a lot of places are like, you need a medical card. A lot of places are like, yeah,
if it is recreational, you should have no problem purchasing it.
Yeah.
If it's only medical, yes, you would have a problem purchasing it.
Okay. So the one thing that I looked at was like, recreational took place or started January 1st, 2019. So that should say that it is. But a lot of people are saying that with an out-of-state license, it won't take effect. But if it's recreational, then it should be fine, right?
I would agree.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any rules for who. I don't know what the specific statutes and rules are, but I'm sure for the recreational part, there's no real ID required unless they need to prove age, and that's about it.
Right. So when I get there and they give me any flack, I'm going to say, listen, Matt from Oregon said it was totally cool.
I mean, I don't know why you're asking anybody these questions when you got Giggles over there. That seems
it's true.
Well,
but I mean, like, things work really, really like funky in Colorado. Like, anything goes in Colorado, I feel like, you know,
it's the Wild West.
There's some rules. There's definitely some rules that are not the same as other jurisdictions. So I found that out last year, is that Oregon has definitely some different rules than Colorado does when it comes to marijuana.
Fill us in.
Well, I don't know if it's changed since I've been there, but I worked at a dispensary for a year as a bud tender, and Colorado had some rules where the dispensaries had to have a certain amount of their grow be specifically from them. Like a certain percentage, I don't know, it was like 60% or 70% or 80% of their product had to be their own. And here in Oregon, you can pretty much open up a shop and not grow any weed, just, you know.
Import at all.
You know, yep. And you can just grow it here too. You know, you just, get some land and start to grow.
There's no limit as to how much you can grow too. You could just grow as much as you want.
Yeah, they have some specific rules, but I don't know. You'd have to do some research, but
I mean, for the most part, it's not going to be doing that anytime soon, but it's good to know. I mean, I feel like you got the right person on the phone for my question that I've been actually trying to research for the past day or two on and off. I didn't really go that deep, but Matt, you were the right person to talk to, I feel like. Thank you very much.
Oh, well, you're welcome. I'm glad I could call in and help you guys out.
Very nice.
We'll help you on your vacation.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. So what's been going on? Give us the scoop. Like, what's been going on in your life that is noteworthy?
Well, I don't know. It sounds like you guys were talking like you were having a deep show, and I don't really want to, you know, bring my, you know, my boring life into it.
I don't even remember what we were talking about. What were we talking about?
We're talking about dads.
Oh, we're talking about
dads. Dad stories?
What's your best dad story?
My best dad story? You know, this goes along the lines of the marijuana, but back in the day, my dad used to get the best fireworks from Wyoming and bring them into Colorado.
Yes.
And so we'd have a cooler in the garage full of just the best fireworks ever. And one time, me and my friends, we made this really cool pipe that would be able to shoot the bottle rockets.
Sure.
You know, we could aim them a lot more accurately. And so we were testing it out in our basement. And, you know, my dad snuck down. He heard us, you know, like laughing and giggling. And I guess the smoke from us lighting so many of the fireworks was wafting
That's great.
Anyway, he comes down the stairs and he's like, oh, what are you guys doing? Are you smoking marijuana? And then we said, no, we're just lighting fireworks. And, you know, it was kind of sad because I think my dad was a little bit disappointed that it was fireworks because I think he wanted us to be smoking marijuana so he could have some.
How old were you?
Probably like 17.
Yeah, that makes sense. If I were a dad and my kid was 17, I'd be like, hey, smoking pot. I'm proud of the boy.
Yeah, so I think he was disappointed, but that was a good story. My dad was, he was a partier. He always told us of his college days, you know, back when DUIs weren't very important and you could drink, you know, like, you know, 15 martinis and then drive home, you know, and nobody really cared.
Nobody cared back then.
Yeah. You hit a tree with your car, the police would be like, hey, can we just drive you home? You know, it wasn't, wasn't a big deal.
It was also, when you think about it back then, too, it was like, I mean, I'm not saying anything about your dad, but in general, like that white privilege of like driving down the road, just trashed and being pulled over and a cop being like, get home. You know, like, what are you doing? Go home. Get out of here.
Right. Yeah. I don't even think we knew to classify it as that back then.
Not.
But yeah, it's probably 100% true.
Yeah.
Definitely some type of just, you know, privilege going on there for sure.
I have a very similar story. When I was a kid, my dad was a Metro North conductor on the railroad. And on the weekends when he was off, we would drive down to the city and he would get some weed from one of his dealers or whatever. But he would also, just for the sake of when I was there, we would also buy tons and tons of fireworks illegally in New York City. That was just like, get some for my kid, too.
Nice.
Yeah, that was always fun. But we would be the talk of the town because I would have all the fireworks on 4th of July, which was always a good time.
Yeah, I think that's a thing where, you know, the two or three people in the neighborhood where the dads are the ones that are the cool dads that, you know, go a little bit above and beyond the rules.
Yep.
You know, I think that's where I got a lot of my driving skills from and just, you know, how I definitely do things in life. You take a lot from your dad because you usually, you know, you respect them and you see what they do all the time. Like I watch my kids, man, they just suck up everything you say and do.
Yeah, they do.
And you know that that's what they're going to be doing
forever,
you know,
forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like ingrained in them from such a young age that it sticks with them forever. Cause I do the same things my dad did and he's been gone now for like 12 years, I think, but you know, everything he taught me, everything I watched, mostly everything I watched is in me. For better or worse.
It's genes.
It is genes. I mean, it is genes, but it's also like what Matt was saying is you watch and you learn and you think when you're such a young kid, you watch them and you idolize them so much at such a young age that you think that they know what they're doing and they're doing it right. And they can't do any wrong. So like, you're just going to take that. Do you find that, Matt, to be the case?
Yeah, and I even find, well, what's been interesting over these last couple of years being older and then realizing that, you know, I had that kid point of view versus the adult point of view of what your parents say and do. And it's amazing how you're like, wow, when they would say these things when I was a kid, I was like, oh, yeah, this makes sense. You know, so, some of the things that it's like, you know, that's my belief. I'm going to be gung-ho. And it works in a lot of different areas, right? Like who your parents love and hate, who your parents agree and disagree with.
Yep.
And then now when you're an adult and you hear them talk about certain people or certain things, you're just like, whoa.
Where
are you getting that information from?
It's like, definitely really interesting that the path of life, because when you're a kid, you idolize them. And like everything you take, you pretty much you're on board with everything they say 100%. And then that percentage goes down the more you get into like teenage years, and then you start to rebel where it's like 0%. You're like, anything you say, you're just over 30. You don't know what you're talking about. And then you get a little older and you're like, oh, they kind of did know what they talk about. And then you get a little older and you're like, oh, wait, you guys are just racist sons of bitches. Yeah, so yeah. I mean, there's a path in life and that we all follow and we all end up being like our parents, but I hope we get better than our parents.
Yes, well, that's definitely what we should be learning is taking the good things out of everything and I guess learning from the bad things about everything and then making, you know, choices. I'm not going to say I make the best choices ever, and I'm not going to say I make the worst choices ever, but hopefully the choices I do make are good enough that my kids survive to be living out on their own.
That's good. Well, it seems like you're doing all right so far, so congratulations on that.
Yeah, I do miss people in my life, though, like Giggles. You know, him not being in my life anymore, it's really been tough.
He's a good man. He's a...
You talking about me?
He's talking about you.
Oh, God. He moved. He moved away. I got too close too fast. This is one of those neighbors. I got too close too fast. And he pulls away.
I was a little worried.
He moves across the country.
I didn't know if he's coming on to me or...
He'll do that.
He wanted to be friends.
I mean, in general, what did you do to me? You moved halfway across the country. You moved away from me.
You still haven't visited.
Yeah,
still
but haven't visited New York like every other weekend. So
yeah, he does. He does. I mean, he does a good job. I know. Matt, is there one thing that you've done as a father that you either can shake your head at or be proud of?
Well, yeah, there's tons of stuff I can shake my head at. but let's see, be proud of. Getting one thing that I did that was the best thing was telling stories at night with my daughters. I started this thing where I would tell them a Scooby-Doo spooky story.
Nice.
And at the beginning, I involve all the characters and I say every night, you know, once upon a time, there were five friends and I have the girls say their names. And then they are going down the street in their car. What's that called? And they, you know, they say the mystery machine and they go on and on and we go through the whole thing. And then I make up this story, a spooky story about some, you know, make up something where, you know, at the end they pull off a mask.
Sure.
And meddling kids and everything. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that for a good, I want to say a year or so. And then it just morphed into them starting to tell their own stories and be able to articulate things in different ways. And I think it was a really good thing.
That's
I
really
didn't
good.
Know how to do it. I just did it, but I think it was a really good thing to do, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, starting
you
your kids out,
just grow and learn and take things on for themselves.
Starting your kids out, learning to how to tell a story is probably the best thing I've heard today. That's mm-hmm. Well done.
Good story. Yeah. Good caller. See, I'll do a little producing, Dave.
I know. Get somebody else on the line.
You love it with the phone rings.
I do. Do they watch Scooby-Doo or is it like turned it?
They love Scooby-Doo. We even got some of the old episodes.
Nice. With like the Globetrotters and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I found out. I had to do some research. I found out that was like their bad years.
Yeah.
When Scooby-Doo got transferred over to this other thing and they started making it this like comedy hour with all these, you know, Batman and Robin, the Globetrotters, Laurel and Hardy, like all these weird people.
Yeah. I mean, there's only so many stories you could do about these kids meddling. Until like we're like, can we bring anybody in? Can we get guest stars? Because that would make our lives a lot easier.
Well, I don't know, man. If you've seen this new one that they did, and well, it's not really new, but they did one in 2009 called Mystery Incorporated, and it was like a really good update of it. It was a little bit borderline with the clothing attire, but
oh yeah, they're like sexy,
and it was
right?
A cartoon,
they're a little sexy.
But it was, really, really liked it, and it was they did a good job with it. The storytelling was pretty much from the origins of how
well they got together.
Yeah,
is it more for
Velma,
is it for kids?
Together. I mean,
is it for kids or is it for adults?
No, it's for kids.
It's for kids.
Because
I feel like the new wave of all these bringing these things back is is like 40% for the kids, but 60% for the adults who watch them as kids.
I think you're right with that, because there was a couple times where my wife was talking to me, but I just completely ignored everything she said because I was really interested in the episode.
It got you. It hooked you in.
Yeah, I was so sucked in. Like, I couldn't. And it was just because it was new and we haven't had any of that in such a long time, but it was good.
That's awesome. So. Well, Matt, I'm going to say thanks for calling in, and Father's Day, and to all the dads out there winging it, 100% do it. You know,
all right, just happy winging Father's it. Day, guys.
All right, man.
Take it easy.
Bye.
Later, buddy.
Good call.
Yeah. See,
you did good.
We can do this, Dave.
We can do it. we can do something.
I love when the two of us listen to people, and we're just kind of like connecting. We're like, we tell them to open up.
Open up.
Connect.
Open up. Open up. What do you got over there on your sheet? What are you doing?
I didn't tell you about the blind taxi story.
Oh, jeez.
I told
somebody
you
was driving blind.
Way. No, I didn't. I wasn't driving blind. No, I was at the where was I? I was getting a measles booster.
Okay.
You know, my doctor said she was like, "Oh, you're out of date for your MMR booster." Oh, I was like, okay, give me the vaccine. I want the juice. I don't want to get measles.
Give me the juice.
Being around all these kids. Ugh. So I go to my doctor. I get the booster, and I have all three kids with me. So I was like, kids are with me, and kids are all up to date.
Kids are all up to date.
So I get my shot, and I get out in the van. Kids are in the van, and I see a blind couple, a husband and wife. And I was like, man, that's Aurora is a tough place to be blind. Yeah. I was like, good God, like it's not New York City. I couldn't even imagine being blind myself. But like you see, and I was like, man, you guys are nowhere near. You know, like you guys.
Both of
like
them hills. Are blind.
Both of them are blind. Wow. And I was like. So I go up to him and I was like, do you guys need help? And they're like, yeah, we're just looking for the bus stop. And I was like, it's probably up that way. I was like, you guys want to just hop in? And so they're like, oh, no. I was like, yeah, no, hop in. So they go into my.
Unwittingly.
I basically forced them into
get
my van.
Get in my car.
Get in my van. But I had all three kids with me. And I was like, I don't know if they, you know, I was like, well, they're. Blind. They're, I never pick up hitchhikers, but I knew they weren't hitchhikers, you know? And so I got them in the van and they just wanted me to take them to the bus stop. And I was like, no, you're in the van. Let's go. I'll take you where you need to go. And they're like, oh, we just live down the road here. And I was like, all right, let's go for it. So I end up taking this blind couple home. And it turns out the guy is actually an engineer, software engineer to help websites become blind. I don't know, not compatible or compliant, but basically if a blind person scrolls over an image, it describes the image. I was like, wow, weird. That's amazing.
That is kind of, that's pretty cool.
So we chatted a little bit and it was a nice good deed.
Yeah.
And I was like, but you know, I don't know if I'd pick up,
regular people.
Like, I thought about this. Normies. Like, I was like, would I pick up people that could see that were lost that needed the bus stop? No, you know?
No. You but probably like, would. If people were like, looking all over like they didn't know what they were doing, you'd be like, hey, you want to you need a ride, you want to get in here?
Yeah,
guess who's here. You know, guess who's here. Like, she said she was gonna be late,
yeah,
but guess who's early.
Time is a social construct.
Ask Melissa. Would Melissa give
she doesn't have
blind?
A car, but if you had a car. She can't drive. She has no license.
I was born here. What do you want?
I know. Nobody in New York City.
That bothers me about people not being able to drive.
One thing. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
And you know, I haven't seen you. I don't think since.
Yeah.
So happy, wherever he is. Happy Father's Day.
Somewhere out there, my grandfather is thinking, "God, I hate holidays," and very gratefully, he doesn't have to open cards.
That's nice. So Giggles is asking the question. So he saw two people. On that, like wandering around, who ended up being blind, and he was like, "What are you guys doing?" And they were like, "We're looking for the bus stop." He's like, "I'll give you a ride." It's a pretty nice deed.
It's a nice thing to do. Yeah.
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 He wants to know if you would do that, but you don't have a license. So I mean, what are you gonna do?
But here's the thing: I feel bad because I was doing a nice thing for them, but I still had a way of like making like saying something offensive. So I took the one seat out of my van. And so one of the captain's chairs was out. So it was like this open seating area. And there was a small space between the two boys' car seats in the back and then one in the front seat. And I like I said to the guy who was a lot, you know, smaller than his wife, I was like, oh, you'll probably want to sit in the back because it's a little bit tight back there. And I was like, damn it. Why did I just like
making things awkward
by saying like, you're not going to fit in between these car seats because you're bigger than your husband.
That is really awkward.
It was super. I don't know if they caught it. They might have. I mean,
I'm sure she caught it right away.
She's like, this asshole's giving me a ride and he's calling me fat, you know, but.
But you gave them a ride. That's give them a ride. Yeah.
You did. Yeah. You did. Did the kids say anything after you dropped them off?
Yeah, they were like, why did you give those people a ride? I was like, well, they're blind and they, you know, looked like they needed help. And if you have a, you know, a chance to help people, you
look
should.
Look at this dad. Look at this dad.
Parenting.
Well, Leo asked me the other day, we went and got ice cream and they were hanging up the rainbow flag. And he's like, oh, what is that flag for? And I was like, well, that's for pride. And he's like, well, what's pride? I was like, well, it's the... it's a month that people celebrate that people are, you know, they're gay and LGBT2, whatever.
What?
LGBT2, whatever. God, so I could never run for office.
Not even close.
LGBT2 or whatever.
You forgot.
I was basically like, if a man wants to be with a man and a woman wants to be with a woman, whoever, you know, they want to love, you can love, you know? And he's like, oh, okay. And so I had a nice little like gay rights talk with my 7-year-old or 6-year-old. And he kind of got it. He's like, oh, that's fine. Men can be with men. Women can be with women, you know, like. And all good. Because of my ice cream shop was putting up
because
their
of the ice cream
line.
Shop. Yeah.
I mean, it was a nice chance to give him a nice little like, and then I was going to go into the whole Stonewall riots. And I was like, that might be too much for a 6-year-old.
That might be too much.
Might be too much.
Yeah. I worked on
I felt like a good, like, I want to say millennial dad, just being like, hey, listen, this is the world we live in, man. You
it's know, the world we live in.
And it's okay.
Yeah. Everything's okay. Yeah. Just be cool. Just be cool,
man.
I worked on this week a Stonewall special that's airing on MSNBC tonight. I don't know what time, either 8 or 9. I don't know. So if you want to watch a special on Stonewall, look at MSNBC. There will be one playing there. something like something that. Happened. I don't know.
Full of history, Dave. Full of history.
Hey, do you want to cover for me next week?
Do you know that Luke asked me to cover for him too?
I know. Fine. Do you want to do 3 hours?
Yeah, fuck it. I'll do it.
Giggles could help with you.
The Melissa and Giggles show? Okay, yeah. That would be a lot of fun. I'm in.
3 hours.
3 hours.
3 hours. I'll have someone come by for the first. Maybe I'll...
What are you doing next weekend? Oh, you're going up to Maine.
Going up to Maine.
You're buying weed in Massachusetts.
I'm trying to buy weed in Massachusetts.
Going See, if I was Maine. A Maine cop listening, I'd wait for you at
you
the border.
You just sit there at the border. But allegedly, Maine...
Ooh, I got you.
Maine is recreational, too.
Really?
Yeah.
They're trying to, well, they're trying to legalize here now. There's a vote next week, right?
Something like that. It's like it's New York is a pain in the ass.
Yeah, that's
it's
never
too big.
Go.
It's so big. It'll happen eventually.
I'm really waiting for like New Jersey to legalize because I feel that would happen.
New Jersey dropped the ball. Yeah. New Jersey had it and then they totally fucked it up.
Because like
they're the Garden State. They could have been out there growing tons of weed.
Yeah, they're something weed. All right. here's a list I put together. I put a couple lists together for tonight. Who was your ultimate TV dad?
Well, I was going to say Cosby, but you can't say Cosby.
Ooh, that's right.
Cosby was like the ultimate TV dad, and then he like drugged a bunch of people.
Then he drugged a lot of women.
So, yeah, Cosby was the first answer, but geez, oof,
that's
anymore.
A rough one. That's like saying Michael Jackson is the best singer.
Yeah.
Man, it's just
ooh, hanging him over a railing. Ooh. Think about that. Jeez.
I know.
Who would ever do that? Best TV dad. Best guy.
Best TV dad.
Michael Jackson holding kids over railings.
Oh, Jesus Christ. He was on TV doing that, so I guess you are right. I have a list of the list I came up with. I didn't want to do like the best dads. So it was the best TV dads we would not want as our own.
Ooh,
who would you
list.
Who would you want?
Any person from Full House, very easily. I'm sure they were great parents, but like fuck them.
The thing about Full House is that you had the whole story of it was Danny Tanner, right?
Yeah.
His wife dies. He's got a bunch of kids. And then Jesse, the uncle, was like, I'll move in with you and help you out. And then there was this third guy that was like, me too. Yeah. I will help you too. What the hell is he doing?
Dave Coulier.
Dave Coulier. What the hell is he doing?
I think he was knighted in Canada or some bullshit. I think he's Sir Dave
Canadian?
Coulier now. Yeah.
Mm. I have a really funny story about Dave Coulier. So at work for a really long time, my name is very similar to Dave Coulier. And for a long time
for those
at
of you
work.
Trying to dox Dave.
All right. And at work, everyone was like, he looks like him too. He looks like him. So at one point, I don't think so either. But in like the kitchen, there was a computer and somebody put up a picture of Dave Coulier when he was in Full House, right? And one of the shipping guys walks by and goes, what did he say? He said, ooh, Dave's not aging very well. And I was like, that's not even me. That's not even me.
You're kind of like a Dave Coulier, bigger Dave Coulier.
A better Dave Coulier.
Better. Yeah. You're like surfer Dave Coulier.
Surfer Dave Coulier. I got my Hawaiian shirt on today, so I got that going for me. All right. So who would you put in this TV dads we wouldn't want for our own? Probably Cosby now.
Cosby.
I would probably put him in there. Cosby. That's a pretty rough one. Can you name anyone in this top 10 list? Let's see. Go with it.
Well, I think my references here are going to be a little different.
They might be spot on.
I would say the professor from Powerpuff Girls, and I feel strongly about this because while he was a great dad, he also brought his children into existence by being terrible at science.
Right. He made them.
Cartoons. Yeah. Come on. We're taking like real.
Well, TV I mean,
shows.
You know, she grew up in the cartoon era.
Get the anime crowd out of here.
Yeah,
come on.
You never watched cartoons she growing just up. Because there was show no Tom and Jerry. There was
I will
no...
say number one answer on this list was Homer.
Oh yeah.
So I mean,
I don't think I thought the list was good. Was good TV dads who you want to
who you
wanna,
don't want
I don't
as
think
your
Homer
dad.
Simpson's a good dad.
Well, I mean, so it's basically like fun TV dads that aren't really good dads.
Okay. All right. I got
Homer
this.
Being number one, which is true. Like you wouldn't want Homer as a dad, but you'd be a drinking buddy with Homer.
Oh hell yeah!
All right. Who else you got? Giggles. What do you got?
I don't know. Just give me the list. Right. Come on. I can't see the list.
Number
I don't
10.
Like this profile of you.
All right. Give me I was trying to get her in, but she's not
you don't
over
need
there.
To see me.
All right.
Yeah.
Number 10.
I'd rather have all of you than part of you, Dave.
Yeah. Number 10 was Frank from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which is Danny DeVito, which is pretty accurate. I would not want Frank from It's Always Sunny being my dad. Well, neither of you are paying attention, which is fantastic.
I hate It's Always
my
Sunny.
Really?
And I couldn't find my phone.
Oh,
I had
well,
my
find
phone
your
at some
phone.
Point. Yeah, it's fine.
Red from a 70s show.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
I would, yeah. Dumbass.
Dexter from Dexter.
I didn't know he was a dad.
Yeah, he had a kid that
yeah,
was
be
he
a bad,
was
bad
he
dad.
Was a bad dad. Peter Griffith, another cartoon, fuck which I'm not a big fan of. Tony Soprano.
Yeah.
Which
strong
yeah,
choice.
Pretty accurate. Frank Costanza, which is pretty accurate because he was not a bad dad. But just yelled a lot.
What about Walter White?
Walter White, but he was a good dad. I feel like he was a good dad who did bad things.
He provided. Yeah, yeah.
Like his whole thing, like the whole point of that show was that he found out that he got cancer and then he wanted to provide for his wife and kid.
But by the end of it, that wasn't really why he was doing it anymore.
No, by the end of it, he was just kind of a drug.
Okay,
kingpin.
So we'll go later seasons, Walter White.
Here's one you might not even remember. Archie. From
Archie was a terrible dad.
Archie Bunker.
From All in the Family.
All in the Family.
Yep.
Right, but I mean, it was kind of the point of his character.
Yeah.
Number two, George Bluth from Arrested Development, which is probably the best answer.
Yeah.
Like, he was a terrible dad.
Terrible
so
dad.
Bad.
The worst dad.
All of his kids, really.
Yeah.
Who's number one?
Homer, I told you already.
Oh, Homer,
I told
okay.
you this already.
Who was Al Bundy not on there?
Al Bundy was on other lists, a lot of other lists that I was looking at. But it was like other lists that I was looking at was like the worst dads and then the best dads. This one I felt like was a little more interesting. Worst dads that you or good dads that you don't want to be your dad. My favorite, and I got to meet him last summer, was the dad from Wonder Years. That was my dad growing up. That was my TV dad.
I think mine would be Captain Sisko from Deep Space Nine.
I've never watched TV. What was Captain Sisko like?
He was a really fucking good dad. He loved Ben. They had a great relationship that was like very loving and respectful. And I think what everyone said about it at the time, as far as I know, like was that it was like a very, very poignant view of like Black fatherhood.
Okay.
I'm not
kind of like
for
Cosby
listeners.
Show.
I'm not Black. I am very, very, very white. But I just the way that parenthood is talked about in Deep Space Nine is a really like poignant thing to me.
Yeah.
And it like influenced me a lot growing up because I watched it with my parents as a kid.
How old was the kid on that show? Because they're in deep space, right?
I mean, he aged over the course. He was when the show started. He was probably supposed to be like 8 or 9, maybe.
What are they doing with a kid out in space?
And he was like a teenager by the end of the show. Like,
why did they bring a kid out in space?
Who else was going to take care of him?
Was a mom out there?
There are tons of kids in space. That's how Wesley Crusher ends up in space. Fuck Wesley Crusher.
Yeah, but Wesley was, he didn't have parents up there.
Yes, he did. His mom was there.
I don't remember that.
Beverly Crusher. Did you not watch Star Trek?
I did. I don't remember that. I was the old school Star Trek. I watched a lot of the early ones. Then I did watch that one, but I didn't pay that close attention to it. Like, if I missed a couple episodes, I was okay with that.
I mean, honestly, if you missed an episode of Next Generation, you missed nothing. That none of the episodes really mattered.
True. Giggles, what's going on over there?
I'm just listening to you two.
Yeah. Babylon. Just,
taking it all in.
What are your Star Trek opinions?
Oh, God. I didn't watch Star Trek.
What was your favorite show growing up? What was your favorite show growing up?
Probably like, was it DuckTales?
Open that door up.
I liked
You like DuckTales?
DuckTales, because they went on adventures.
Uncle Scrooge was like a terrible dad.
Well, Uncle Scrooge, yeah, he was kind of really selfish and.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know,
but he always in the end would be like, these are my nephews.
No, it was Launchpad McQuack and the other guy who saved the day, Baloo. Right?
Isn't Baloo the bear?
It's true. It was. It was a spinoff of pretty much of Baloo. What is it?
Jungle Book.
The Jungle Book. It was like a spinoff of that mixed with like Donald Duck. Because Donald Duck was the father of those kids, right?
They're rebooting DuckTales, or they already did. They probably already did. I think Ben Schwartz is in it.
Ben Schwartz is in it? Yeah. That's funny. I can see that. That's a really weird show. It was trippy for back then, I feel like. It was really a weird show.
DuckTales?
DuckTales. It was a little weird. Or am I thinking of Dark Knight, which was also a weird show.
Or Howard the Duck. Howard the Duck was a little weird.
Well, Howard the Duck.
Like, that real, did you ever watch that? The real duck?
Howard the Duck.
A real life-size duck that like dated girls, right?
What? Ew.
Did he? What did Howard the Duck do?
Howard the Duck was the Spielberg movie back in the 80s that was like one of the biggest bombs of all time. You've probably never seen... No. Howard the Duck. You should watch Howard the Duck because it's a live.
Maybe I'll do that during my 3-hour show there you next go. Week.
It's a live movie where they have like an animatronic duck, like just being perverted and like hanging out with women and like smoking and like it's a really bizarre movie.
Yeah,
it's a weird one.
My favorite shows growing up. Okay, we've already prefaced this all spiritually by knowing that I was a weird kid. But my favorite shows growing up, I loved Lost. I loved Lost. I watched
that
Lost.
That was like, oh my God, she's so young.
Yeah. I know. I know.
Sorry.
Like growing up as a kid, we're Lost.
I know. Yeah. Lost
we're so
was,
old, Dave.
I know, we are old.
Well, the other one was Monty Python's Flying Circus.
And then that was really old. So there you go. There you go. Highs and lows. I felt like the first season of Lost was great.
So good.
And then they were like... Here, have more seasons. And they were like, we don't know what we're doing.
I think they knew what they were doing. They just didn't, people just didn't like where they ended up. What was your favorite show growing up?
Favorite show growing up. I would probably say It Still Rains is my top show. Wonder Years is one of my favorite shows growing up.
I've never seen Wonder Years.
You should watch it. It's all on Netflix, I think. You should watch it beginning and end. I actually wanted to do a podcast, but nobody wants to do it with me, of every episode of The Wonder Years.
I'll guest star.
All right, perfect.
Another bad cartoon TV dad, the dad on Daria.
Was he a jerk?
He just was annoying. Daria's parents sucked.
Daria was a spinoff of Beavis and Butthead.
Yes.
It was.
They're rebooting Daria with someone in it, and it's about
Joey.
Garofalo?
Who was the voice
Someone
of Daria?
Just told me a wild story about Janine Garofalo the other day.
I've seen her a bunch lately.
Don't tease us like that. Come on.
Tell us a story.
Yeah, you can't. I actually can't tell.
Write it down.
It's not my story to tell.
Write it down.
But I saw her once and she looked...
She's tiny.
Yeah.
She's super tiny.
That was not the word I was going to use, but let's go with that word because it was better than the one I was going
to What were you going to say?
Out of it.
She was out of it? I've seen her do stand-up a few times because I've seen a bunch of shows. And it was actually at our friend Ryan's office, and they had a bunch of comedians. She was one of them. And I seen her both, and she did the same set, and it was like a year apart. It was the same set. And it was all about like AARP. That was like all
That's
of
it.
Her jokes.
That's all she's got.
It was pretty wild. All right, I got some facts.
Ooh.
Yeah, you could shut it. It's hot, but yeah, you could shut it. Father's Day, the first Father's Day, was in Spokane, Washington. Started in Spokane, Washington, 1910.
I mean, I think it was probably a day everywhere besides a day in Spokane, Washington. Just,
right.
It was only Father's Day.
It was
day
actually
there.
This woman, I can't remember her name, but this woman was sitting in church and they were talking about how important mothers were. And it was like right after Mother's Day. And she was like, what about, and she was like, her mother died when she was a kid. She's like, what about dads? My dad's growing me up. This is great. There's no Father's Day. And then she's the one who made this thing happen. So that's good. Giggles, what are you doing over there?
I was just looking at photos.
What do you got?
From the weeks past.
What do you got?
Went to the zoo. Ooh. Last week.
Tell me more.
It's kind of nice. The baby loved the orangutans and the gorillas, but it was packed. It was
a nice day, right?
Busy day at the zoo.
Yeah, it was a nice day. It was a good day for the zoo, but it was just packed. So
I believe that.
And then just doing weddings and doing videos, man. I'm actually proud of this. Last week, I think I did like 40 hours worth of video work for like myself and
Randall. So
I was like, that's good. That's like a
work.
Good, like a full week of like, you know.
For a guy who doesn't work a full week's work, you did it.
It was nice.
I'm proud of you. It was good. Proud of you.
Thanks.
Here's a couple more facts for you.
Yeah.
Roughly 60% of men over the age of 15 are fathers. Isn't that wild?
Whoa.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
A short period of time, Geraldo, his father-in-law was Kurt Vonnegut. His mom married Kurt Vonnegut, and then quickly they got divorced.
I wonder if Kurt Vonnegut was disappointed in him.
Probably.
I bet he was.
I think he was. He actually, I think he was. He wrote a lot of stories and called his nemesis Jerry a lot for Geraldo, which is really great. Andre Agassi's father was in the Olympics in 1948 and 52 for boxing. What do you know? Yeah.
Just the facts.
My dad went to the Olympics once.
There you go.
Yeah.
Here's my favorite two facts. Okay. The world's oldest father is believed to be from India. He was 96 years old when his 52-year-old wife gave birth to a baby.
Oh,
in 2010. God. 92.
Who's fathered the most
96.
Kids? What, like probably Genghis Khan.
All right,
Khan,
so
right?
Here it is. I got that one too.
You got that one too. Sorry, I gave the punchline already.
No, it's fine. It's fine. We have a couple minutes left. The father with the most children is known to be Ismail ibn Sharif, a sultan who fathered 888 children with hundreds of wives and concubines in the 17th century.
Jeez, that's pretty not too wild. Long ago.
No. 17th, well, 300 years ago-ish.
He was a sultan?
He was a sultan, yeah.
Yeah.
And he just had tons and tons of women.
Concubines.
And he's just like, bop, 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 let's keep having kids. All right, here's the last fact before we go. We have a minute left. The father with the most children, and tell this one to Mrs. Giggles over there. The father with the most children from one woman is Fyodor Yas-something. I can't pronounce his name. He and his wife had 69 children in the 1700s. Reportedly, 67 out of the 69 children survived.
That's pretty good mortality rate.
That's huge.
That's a lot of births.
Imagine a woman having that. Like, she must have had having babies at like 13
God.
Every year had one up until she was like 70.
Every 9 months.
God, every 9 months. Yeah, that must be rough. I don't know if these facts are true. These are what I learned on the internets.
Fake news.
All right, good show.
Not the views of Radio Free Brooklyn.
Or the Guinness Book of World Records.
Right. Good show.
Yeah, good hang.
All right, you're going to do a show with Melissa next week. It's going to be great. I'm going to listen to it.
Sounds good.
All right. I'm so in. We'll figure this out.
Yep. All right, later, all. Good show.
Bye.
Later.